It's 9:30 and it's a Thursday. It means it's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, and his appearance every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by the fine folks over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a ring at 738-5701. Brian Heaney, the voice of the Hawks, with us. Brian, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Wade, I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm getting pretty excited, I guess, as much as I can for a scrimmage that's coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's begin with football, and certainly things did not go the way of the Jayhawks this past weekend against Iowa State, 45-0. The defense actually played pretty well. I know that sounds crazy, but if somebody didn't watch the game, they'd go, that can't be true. But it really was, wasn't it?
It was. I'm glad you phrased it that way, because I think a lot of folks didn't watch the game or listen to it past the first quarter or so. They probably heard Kansas fall down in another 17-point hole to start the game and thought, oh, brother, here we go again. But it felt very different and remained very different, even with the final 45-0 score, if you look at it from a defensive perspective, because there were four drives of 35 yards or less against the Kansas defense that were set up by a special teams mistake here or an interception there. There was a 68-yard punt return for a touchdown against Kansas that contributed to that 45-0 score. This was, without a shadow of a doubt, the best defensive performance of the season. And really, it was indicative, perhaps most so, in terms of like a microcosm example, of the first drive of the game. They two stops. They get a...
Now, Brian, we're losing you there. You're cutting in and out. Let's see if we can get him back here. Brian might have hit a bad area here with his cell phone. Brian still there? I think we lost Brian. Well, we'll see if we can get reconnected here to Brian Heaney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt, big Jayhawk fan, and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701 is the number to call as the Jayhawks get ready for a matchup against TCU coming up on Saturday, as the Horned Frogs rank fourth in the country. And KU a heavy underdog in that one. Brian, are you there? We lost Brian. So we'll see if we can get him connected again here in a moment. There he is. We'll try to see it here. All right, Brian, are you there?
I'm there, man. Okay. I apologize. I'm right in the middle of campus. No metal roof or anything. I shouldn't say the name of my cell phone provider on the air, but has anybody else been having issues the last couple of days? Because this has been weird.
Yeah, you just kind of dropped out there. Kind of still a little bit muffly, to be honest with you, but I think we can improve it, hopefully. You were talking about the defense against Iowa State.
Yeah, it was truly, hands down, the best defensive performance we've seen all season. And I'm not sure when I cut out there, but we talked about how the opening couple of drives of the game were kind of a microcosm of the day. I mean, Kansas comes out and gets a quick stop on the very first drive of the ball game. The big sack from Isaiah Bean forces a punt. KU fumbles the punt return. The defense has to go right back out on the field. They get another stop. They punt. Then Kansas inside the five. And KU throws an interception. And the defense has to come right back out on the field for the first time, third time in 5 minutes, with 8 yards separating their backsides from the goal line. At that time, ISU scored. And I see that's a microcosm because it was clearly one of those days where the defense was absolutely at its best. And if you had anything else coming from the other two stages of the game, who knows, you know, what the final outcome looks like. I'm not saying they would have overcome a 45-point final margin of defeat, but right there, you had a special teams gaffe, an offensive turnover, and ultimately 7 points on the board, even though you had two stops before it and were forcing the Cyclones to punt left and right. And clearly the offense, you know, had a reason for its struggles. You were without your starting center, who's on the Remington Trophy watch list, Mesa Riberty. You're without Khalil Herbert, your starting tailback, who's one of the best tailbacks in the Big 12 Conference in terms of yards per game when healthy. And so, clearly, those are two big hurdles to clear there when you're without two of your top three or four offensive players. But the defense was complete, and for a group that's been criticized, you know, both in the media and among the fan base for not living up to preseason hype, this was as close to the hype as we thought we'd see. And if you just read the box score and didn't really dive deep into it or didn't watch the game, you probably wouldn't realize just how good that defense actually was. Look at yards per play, especially over the first three quarters before I think they kind of wore down a little bit late. But they were amazing. I mean, there was a stretch about halfway through the third where you look up and KU's, they're down 30 on the scoreboard, but ISU got yardage totals in the mid-150s for the game. And that's the kind of day it was, because there were so many short fields set up by Kansas mistakes that the defense ultimately gave up points that they probably wouldn't have given up otherwise had they had a normal down distance and field to work with. So it was an unfortunate day, you know, when you add it all up, because clearly the defensive effort was good enough to win. But, man, this is a three-phase game. You can't just do it with one of the three phases. You got to have all the three, especially on the road in the Big 12 against a program on the rise like Iowa State. But Kansas will do its best to get special teams and offense back to what we saw earlier in the year. And I think they can, but, you know, we're not going to sell sunshine and rainbows here. When there's obvious glaring weaknesses that need to be addressed. And one of those right now is just the quarterback position. Plenty goes into that, from the pass protection up front to the guys catching passes downfield. But Kansas would go a long ways in tightening these margins and possibly winning football games if they could get a little bit more production out of that spot. And it was a frustrating day, obviously, for Peyton Sander. The guy had more pass attempts than he had passing yards, which I'm not sure I've seen too many times. And it was one of those days where when he doesn't have his center, doesn't have his cocktail back, on a wet track, and there's a lot of excuses you can make, but I don't think you make any of them. I think you say he just has to be better. And Carter Stanley came in, and I thought he provided a spark on a couple of plays where he put his head down and his shoulder down and dove for extra yardage, and had a couple of pass plays that he was able to make because he extended the play with his feet. But having said that, it's not like he came in and set the world on fire either. Neither quarterback gave Kansas ultimately what it's going to need to win in this conference. And so hopefully a new day, a new opportunity presents a chance to be much better. But to call it like it is, TCU is one of the best defenses in America, not just the Big 12, but will certainly be a stiffer test this Saturday night in Fort Worth.
Well, a lot of people are scratching their heads, including myself, right off the bat when I noticed that Fox had chosen KU at TCU for primetime. But their explanation was that there are a lot of big upsets this past week, some that nobody saw coming, and that KU and TCU, in the history of them playing since TCU joined the Big 12, I think the average margin of victory is only 11 points. And, of course, KU could have and probably should have won last year at Memorial Stadium there in Lawrence. So that's the reason they picked it to be a primetime game. We can only hope that it will be, right?
I love it. I love that rationale, and I know that's the way the KU coaches are approaching it. And I agree. You know, it's clearly a matchup that if you just look at the 6-0 TCU start, I mean, maybe in college football playoff talk, if we were talking about that this early in the year, ranked fourth in the country. If you just look at where KU's at right now, 1-5, a 5-game slide, the last 2 games going the way they have, you wouldn't think they belong in the same chapter, let alone paragraph or sentence. But as you said, this has been a hotly contested rivalry. Kansas lost by a single point last year, and Matthew Wyman kick just sailed wide at the end of the game. Otherwise, it would be talking about TCU and Texas as home wins a year ago for Kansas football. And Fox is right in that there has been something in the air of late on any given Saturday, as they say, where I guess it was any given Friday last week, where Syracuse knocked off number 2 Clemson. The week before, Iowa State wins in Norman at Oklahoma. Obviously, Kansas is a ways away from proving it can put 60 minutes together in 4 full quarters and get all 3 phases going, but I don't think they're as far away as maybe some of these final scores would indicate. And I know all the guys are completely bought in, and I think last Saturday is indicative of that, because you remember on this report last week, we talked about the defense, and we talked about some comments that David Beatty made, that group is so bought in and still one of the hardest-working, most dialed-in clubs, position groups on this team, and really as good as he's seen, because they come into that film room every day, even though at that point they've lost 4 in a row and there are a lot of things being said or written about coaches and players not living up to expectations. Well, they go out and they turn in their best effort of the year, and that was right on cue with what David Beatty said about Clint Bowen and his defense, and I was so happy to see that. And I genuinely believe the rest of his team is like that. Clearly, you know, you've got a lot of ground to gain between where Kansas sat right now and a program like TCU. But if you can get off to a fast start, like we saw the defense do, but do so in all 3 phases, if you can show these guys that you're planning on sticking the stand and being around for a while on Saturday night, this isn't just another one of those roll out the balls and maybe score a drive or two and that's it. I think the longer you stay in this game, the more belief builds and grows, the more confidence gains amongst this Kansas team, and you have a chance to do what they've done most years versus TCU, and that's compete. And so I think Fox is not out of line and putting this in the prime time. And my big hope is this. If Kansas is not to pull the monumental upset, at least have a performance that instills confidence and some kind of momentum heading into the Dillon Sunflower Showdown game the following week. And after that, you have Baylor at home. It's back-to-back home games in similar fashion to how it appeared West Virginia and Texas Tech at home seemed to be in KU's wheelhouse. It proved that they weren't, and the final margins weren't as close as what we thought they would be. But I genuinely believe with still half a season to go, and particularly these two home games coming up on the other side of TCU, opportunity knocks for Kansas to still change the narrative on this season and change it in a big way from what's been said and written over the last few weeks. But whether you win, lose, or draw this weekend, man, you got to get some momentum and confidence coming out of TCU because I think the opportunity of the season awaits the following week versus K-State. Not because I think it's some light for the picking matchup. I just feel like, you know, that's one game you circle. If you could win, for everything that's, you know, being said right now about where the program is pointed and all that, you beat your in-state rivals, you beat the Hall of Famer, you show everybody who's raising the chant right now for the sake of our capital campaign that, yes, we are on the climb. Because that's how we felt, quite frankly, in the last 2 weeks a year ago when KU knocks off Texas and then goes into Manhattan and don't win that game. But it was a lot closer than most folks figured it would be, and they really competed with Carter Stanley, by the way, down to the very end of that contest. And so I believe that it's not like the Cats are in another stratosphere right now. And so Kansas must put itself in a better position as they gear up for those two home games back-to-back. But that's certainly not to sell opportunity short this week. I know David Beatty believes this is certainly one his team could go down there and get and shock all the college football. So we're not going to put it past it just yet.
Well, and then Jayhawks certainly have to get off to a solid start, and that'll give them the chance to pull off the upset at Fort Worth coming up. And you can hear it on Z96.3 Lake. Brian and David Lawrence will have the call for you at 7 o'clock on Z96.3. Now, a lot of people are excited, and of course there are many KU fans that are football fans early in the year, and then they shift over to basketball, sometimes quicker than others. And the first exhibition game on October 31st against Pittsburgh State on Halloween. However, there's been something added to the schedule that seems to have some people interested, and that is KU-Missouri scrimmage, which the players have already been saying, at least I've heard on Missouri's side, we're not treating this like a scrimmage, we're treating this like a game. Missouri has been pleading to play KU ever since they left the conference. Bill Self has been pretty adamant that they probably wouldn't, and now this is for a good cause. So they will get together and play a scrimmage coming up this weekend at Sprint Center there in Kansas City. How did this get started, and are you surprised that this has come about?
Actually, it was Bill Self's idea, you know, which isn't completely surprising because he's a really smart guy and a Hall of Famer for a reason. But as you know, there's been a reluctance to have any type of talks to get Mizzou back on the schedule after the way they had bolted for the SEC. And there's a perception out there that he's one of the most staunch, you know, in his stance about not playing them again. And that's not necessarily the case. But I do want to caution fans who think that this reunion of KU and Mizzou is a complete renewal of the rivalry. That's not the case. This is a one-time thing in which two schools are getting together for a cause much bigger than basketball, for the hurricane relief. And our head coach, well, I just think the world of, not just as a basketball coach, but as somebody who realizes the magnitude of his platform and his position or influence, he knew, hey, if we want to raise as much money as possible and make as big a splash as we can and possibly raise, you know, upwards of $1.5 million. There's only one dance partner that would bring that kind of interest overnight and sell out tickets in a New York minute or a Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas minute, and that's Mizzou. And so, you know, he calls up Coach Martin and says, hey, you know, I think this would be a great idea. What do you guys think? It's a chance from a basketball standpoint to get an extra game, which is great. But more than anything, you know, they sold this thing out quicker than you could say rock chalk, and did so to the tune of tickets that, you know, I think alone are going to push you past $1 million when you look at the concessions and tickets are off. And hopefully when folks, you know, hear on the broadcast how they can donate to hurricane relief, they hear some of the player testimonials from other Kansas student athletes that we're going to play in lieu of commercials, you'll have more online and over the phone donations that raise this total far beyond their original goal. But no, this was just a couple of coaches coming together and our coach having the idea to outside of the season before things ramp up too quickly to make their difference. And what a difference it'll make. You know, with all due respect to other schools that are doing the same thing, you know, in kind of copycat fashion, you're not going to see the type of attendance, the type of donation. This was something that was the perfect storm of circumstances. One of the most storied rivalries in the history of college sports, but we haven't seen it in 5 years, and a desire on both sides to get, you know, that opportunity in a way that would yield a lot of financial return for this cause. Now, is there a desire on both sides to have this be a yearly thing? I don't think that's the case, not yet anyway. I know certainly amongst the fan base it is, but I think we're still a ways away, and I would caution anybody from thinking that this is the olive branch extended to a yearly thing. You know, Kansas has a pretty full dance card as it is when it comes to non-conference scheduling each year. Our big game is the Champions Classic. It's Kentucky, it's Duke, it's Michigan State, it rotates. And with Mizzou, while they have their annual game with Illinois, and this would obviously trump that in a landslide every year, I don't think there's a sense of urgency on the Kansas side to take part in any type of regular negotiation just yet. But who knows? I mean, obviously, you know, folks like me that grew up on this rivalry, whether it was Norm Stewart, Clint Snyder, or whatever, Don Fambro, I'd love to see it again on a regular basis, but I don't think this is the start of something quite regular just yet. Time heals all wounds, and maybe time will heal this one, but probably hasn't been enough time just yet. But the fact that they can put those differences aside for the sake of this one day, one game, and it is a game, by the way. There's nothing we'll call scrimmage about it. We'll have officials, they'll play the normal 40 minutes with the normal rules and all that. Same rules as a exhibition game in that the transfers can't play in it. Because if you play in an exhibition game, you know, these preseason games, unlike the Italy exhibition games, yeah, that affects your eligibility. So Kansas won't have the Boston brothers, won't have, you know, Charlie Moore, Sam Cumbuck is not eligible until semester. So that's an important point to point out as well as to why this is a game and not just a pickup scrimmage. So I think folks that pay that money for those tickets are going to be treated to a real game-like atmosphere. They're going to want to win this thing. You know, not to the point of stressing it too hard and putting yourself in harm's way. But at the same time, Kansas didn't get the competition I think it wanted to get in Italy. And to have one extra opportunity, the major conference caliber competition, and one extra tune-up before they jump into the thick of another really challenging non-con, I think this is a good thing from a basketball standpoint, too. It really is. So, and for folks that worry about injury, oh, man, what if somebody gets hurt? Hey, man, these guys are going full bore every day in the Bill Self practice anyway. You know, Gazabuki lost the second half of the season because he was going all out, you know, in a practice, you know, last December. And so anytime you race him up and you play for a coach's intensive Bill Self, you're going 100%, and that's just part of the game. So you might as well do it against somebody else, somebody where you can really start to, you know, see what you've got more so than just going up against each other. And I think that and more is what this opportunity on Sunday offers.
Well, I'm with you. I would love to see KU Missouri play each year at least one time. Now that they're in different conferences, I've been to various KU games, and you know, no offense to Kansas State, no offense to Iowa State, no offense to Texas and Oklahoma and all that, but those fan bases and those. The bad blood goes way back, as we know, way, way, way back. And there is nothing like being at Allen Fieldhouse when KU plays Missouri. I mean, it's unbelievable atmosphere at Allen Fieldhouse all the time. And it's great when there's close games and it comes down and you're like, you need KU to come back against West Virginia, Oklahoma, or whatever the case may be. But there's something different when Missouri comes to town. And I've been to a couple at Allen Fieldhouse, and it's the loudest I've ever experienced it. My ears were actually ringing when I left the arena after a Missouri KU game, to the point where I thought they were going to bleed. And I loved every second of it. And I would love to see that happen again, whether it's got to be a neutral floor for so many years, and then eventually maybe they do a home-and-home situation where KU hosts one year and then they go to Columbia another year. But it just would be tremendous if these two schools could play on a regular basis again. But like you said, it's probably a long ways off.
It probably is. And I support the stance of those that factor in this decision much more so than you and I would as fan followers. But for all the reasons you mentioned, one day, you know, you'd love for your kid to experience the rivalry and the intensity of it that we grew up on. And this would be the only dosage they get for a little while. But maybe maybe eventually we'll get to that point. I just don't think we're quite there just yet.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. It really isn't too off-the-wall today, and that is we're talking about rivalry, KU and Missouri. What was your most hated rival throughout your career, whether it been in high school, maybe it was junior high, maybe it was a person you were trying to compete in the spelling bee against, and that person just always beat you in the spelling bee or the free throw contest? What was your most hated or disliked rival?
I don't know how intensely I hated anybody outside of the sports teams that I cheered against. Growing up, obviously, hated the Zoo, and I was cheering against the Yankees in baseball. But you mentioned free throw contest. There was an Elks Club free throw shoot, and you know this from previous chats. Man, the height of my athletic achievement was the Shawnee County, Topeka, Kansas Elks Club free throw championship of 1991. it's right up there with NBA Finals of '96 and stuff like that.
Sure.
Fan acclaim and pressure and stage and spotlight and all that. But I won the city competition. I went to districts, which I believe was in Olathe, and I hit 23 out of 25, which is pretty dang good.
Yes.
I got 92% last time I checked. And unfortunately, there was a kid who not only was in my same age bracket, but was wearing a Kansas State Wildcats t-shirt and an Oakland Raiders starter jacket.
Oh, no.
We were just naturally enemies anyway.
Yeah.
I'm Bayhawks, Chiefs, Wildcats, and Raiders, and this dude hits 24 out of 25. and I would have won any other age division, even the 16 to 18-year-old with my 23 out of 25, but this guy,
yeah,
whose name I will leave out because I think he lives in your listening audience, and I wouldn't want folks to go running to his front lawn with TP and toilet paper, but this guy, back in 1991, shattered my dreams, and came back the next year and tried to avenge it. He wasn't in the competition, and it's just not as sweet. You can go on and win it, but if you don't beat the guy that altered your path toward the throne, man, it's not nearly as good. So,
yeah.
So that guy, John Doe, Philly Wildcat, Oakland Raider, man, that was my rival back in 1991. And there's a slightly embellished story, but many pieces of that story were true. We just protected the identity of some for the sake of their sake.
I can just see you rolling into that free throw competition, looking over and seeing him with the K-State gear and the Oakland Raider stuff and saying, look at this bleeping guy.
and then he shoots 96%. I mean, come on, man.
That's just wrong. Well, you're not bitter about it at all. I'm glad you moved past it.
Yeah, but later.
On that note, we'll let you go. Hey, Brian, thanks as always for the time each and every week. Have a great call and have fun covering football and basketball this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. I appreciate it, bud. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.